Our first reading from Genesis, the third chapter. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool, in the garden, in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to the dust you shall return." And the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is from St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray one of the verses we just sang. When lures of easy gain with promise brightly shine, Lord, help us seek your kingdom first, our wills with yours align. Amen. Salesmanship, that is a concept that has been around for quite a while. We probably all have a loose definition of what that means when I say the word salesmanship. You know that if you are a businessman with a product, you want a good salesman working for you. You want someone who can market your product, you want someone who can attract customers, and then who can sell them whatever the product is that you make. And so we know what a good salesman is. He's good at salesmanship. And for salesmen who are very good, the joke for a long time has been to describe them as someone who is able to sell snow to Eskimos or something along those lines. But we all know that there is a darker, at least there can be and often is, a darker side to salesmanship. Year after year for these past few years, we have seen several news stories, several reports about the way in which some products are marketed, and about just how successful they are at drawing in people. Some people even become addicted to these products. And whether it is you're talking about social media or opioids or even college education, it seems that there are a lot of people in this world who are willing to give up quite a bit. They will give up more money than they can earn in several years. They will give up social and family life. They will even give up their own health. And they will give this stuff away because they want that product being sold so bad. To them, it is a good deal. And so to take this absurd illustration seriously for a second, would it be a good thing if someone had the ability to sell snow to an Eskimo? Or put it this way, if you were an Eskimo, would you want to be around a salesman who could do that? Today in our Old Testament reading, we have just such a salesman. Eve lives in paradise. Literally, that is the Greek word that gets translated as garden, paradise. And God had told Adam in chapter 2, and it was clearly passed on to Eve, that in paradise there is this rule: do not eat from that tree, or you will die. And then in chapter 3, along comes a serpent. And you heard what he sold Eve on. Our gospel reading happens thousands of years later. You and I have heard both of these readings many times through the years. You know what is going to happen in each reading. And yet, I do not think it is only me, but I think probably all of us think that what the devil offers Jesus doesn't sound that bad, does it really? We hear that Jesus had fasted. He had not eaten food for 40 days. He is hungry, and so the devil suggests that he make some bread to eat. So what do you think to that offer? I bet you think it sounds good. And you probably think it sounds good, even though you already heard that food is exactly what tripped up Eve in paradise. And yet the devil suggests it. That is quite some salesmanship. The devil takes Jesus to the edge of a high building and he tells him, listen, God has angels for this kind of thing. Jump off. Let them catch you. And we think, well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Why else would we call them guardian angels? If they can't do even that for us, what good are they? The devil takes Jesus and shows him all the nations of the world and tells him, I will place you in charge of all of this if your knee just touches the ground in front of me. That's right, you could run the world. No campaign, no debates, no votes, certainly no cross. Just bend the knee. I will hand you the keys of the world. And we think, that's a good deal, isn't it? It sounds good to me. These deals all three that the devil offers, they don't sound that bad, do they? It's not like Jesus tells, or it's not like the devil tells Jesus, listen, you need to kill someone. And then Jesus says no. It's not like the devil says, if you push this button, millions of people will die, and then I will give you all that stuff. That kind of stuff, we would all, I hope, recoil from them. We would recoil from those. That's not what the devil says. He just says, bend the knee, and I will give it to you. Now, I hope you see from these readings, back to back, I hope you see that the devil is cunning. His salesmanship is off the charts. And I hope you also see that his most tempting things aren't about murder or robbing a bank or kidnapping or something along those lines. Don't get me wrong, the devil is a destroyer. He is fine with all of those things. But the scriptures say that he often appears as an angel of light. So he appears to offer good stuff, food, protection, security, control. These are things that I bet we all want. And if someone were to offer them to us right now, how many of us would open up our checkbooks? But this is exactly where the cunning part gets in. The devil is a liar. All of this stuff he offers leads to death. Sure, the food may look and taste good, but you die from eating it. Adam and Eve are dead, and God told them they would be even before they take the bite. Sure, it sounds like a great deal to be able to be reckless, to think that you won't be killed no matter what you do, but then how many people have you seen being carried in midair by angels? How many jumpers have you heard of that didn't touch the ground, that didn't die, that instead were bore down by angels to the ground? It sounds good to be in charge of the world, or even just to be in charge of our country. But ask yourself, how many presidents have you been totally satisfied with? How many kings? How many dictators? Ask yourself, how many of them have, on the other hand, made a mess of all sorts of things, either willingly through a bad ideology or simply as unintended consequences of what they do? And one of the things that we see in our gospel reading this evening is that Jesus does not act like that at all. Jesus doesn't act like the devil is making good offers. Jesus doesn't act like ignoring God's word about the devil and his offers is a good idea. Jesus doesn't act like bending the rules here or there is fine if we think that the end will be good. It won't. It's not true. And we see in Jesus' reply that he clearly sees this as a matter of life and death. God told Adam and Eve that very thing. When you eat, you will die. You've heard the same thing many times over, that the wages of sin is death. But you also recognize you are still tempted by this kind of thing. But look in the gospel reading. Jesus is not. Jesus sees that following Satan, even the smallest bit, that ignoring God's word, even in the tiniest part, that is a matter of life and death. So he will not do it. He will not do it. And Jesus states outright that we live, that is, you and I live, not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus sees it that way. Do you see it that way? Because if you did, you would act like Jesus when temptation comes. You would stay away from all of the devil's offers. You would see temptation for the death that it really is, and you would not give in. And why? Because you would see yourself as an Eskimo. You would see you already have everything that the devil is offering. You already have food, security, control. You already have it. Just as Eve already had food, in paradise. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that the Heavenly Father knows that you need food. Jesus teaches, in the prayer that he gives us, he teaches us to ask for daily bread. And he says, the Heavenly Father will answer you. So knowing this, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. And he means, among other things, you have food. You also already have security. A mighty fortress is our God. Therefore, we need not fear, even though the earth give way. That is from Psalm 46, written 3,000 years ago, long before Luther ever put pen to paper on his hymn. Jesus tells us, do not fear those who can kill the body. He tells you, the Father has every single hair of your head numbered. He values you more than he values the birds. He will take care of you. And control. Control is in the hands of someone that we can trust. God is ultimately in control, and he has given you control over whatever he wants you to have control over. And that handing you the world, or even the nation, you know, this is such a scary thing that people tie themselves in knots every 4 years in this country over that exact question. But the Word of God tells us that God places kings and others in authority. You do not need that control. God has this. What the devil wants you away from is God's Word. He wants you to ignore what God's Word has told you is destructive and deadly. And instead, the devil wants to sell you death, which, by the way, is something you already have coming. Jesus, on the other hand, tells you that you live. You have eternal life by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that stocking up on that is far more important than stocking up on bread or milk or face masks or MREs. And that even those who do die, Jesus says, there is the day coming when he will raise you with a word. And the scriptures do talk about angels, but the word angel does not mean someone who catches people who jump off buildings. The word angel doesn't mean bodyguard. The word means messenger, as in those who bring us God's word, the very thing that Jesus talked about. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, seek first Jesus Christ, the King, and our righteousness. Seek the one who defeats the devil and who sends him packing. Seek the one who died and rose again. Seek first the one who ascended to the heavenly throne. Seek where he is. Seek where he feeds you. And you have, know that you have, all that you need, including peace, passing understanding, guarding and keeping your very hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus. Amen.